Blog Talk Radio.
It won't happen to us because it's happening right now through us. Come on, sing with me.
Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Om.
Hi, neighbor.
Mr. Rogers passed along friendship, hoping we would, too. Friendship. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at Values.com.
Good morning, and welcome to America Meditating. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. We are broadcasting live from Peace Village Learning and Retreat Center up in the Catskill Mountains, and it's snowing, folks. It's chilly. It's silent. There's a group of visitors here that are going into their personal sustenance for themselves. They're on the path of service to others, and this particular retreat is for them to basically rekindle their light, their spark, and to serve themselves. So I'm very honored to be in the gathering here as we broadcast live to you the America Meditating Radio Show. You know, recently we are exploring a lot of different dimensions and really looking at what spiritual effort really is about. And as much as you might know, on the journey of your enlightenment, you come to a point that there's so much always to know, and to never ever walk with the attitude that you've arrived and you've made your call or you've made your game, you're it, you've got it. It's nothing like that. The soul is an energy, and the soul, in the sense of what's its form, is like a star. It's so minute, it's so subtle. But it's living in the body, and it's behind my eyes. And whatever I, the soul, have experienced, that experience is conveying itself through the way that I think, the way that I speak, the way that I walk, the way that I eat, the way that I sleep, and definitely the way that I conduct my affairs. So just imagine our journey at this time is this constant unfolding of what is my recording inside. And some of us have heard so many things about ourselves, and some of us have heard positive things, negative things. But what is it that the soul holds on to? The positive or the negative? What's moving you? Is it the positive and the true, or the negative, which is an illusion? How are you moved? Are you your own best friend? Are you moving forward? Are you not living from your past? Because it's about this. It's about getting out of that spin. It's such an old school, the blame game. What happened to me shouldn't have happened. The whole game of not letting go of how my mother and my father treated me, or should have treated me in a particular way. Over the weekend, we filmed the first episode of Soul Search, and my great friends, Kelly Sullivan Walden and Stephen Powers, as we were just unfolding our own stories, and I was sharing with them the unfolding of my mother's own story. It brought tears to everyone's eyes because she has broken out of her limits, and she's becoming more of the person that she needs to become. And sometimes when you've come from a real dark past and you wake up to the light and you believe in the light, there's a powerful story of teaching the world about. I mean, you can teach so many people based on your story when you've risen from ground level. And someone was sharing within the group, I had the perfect upbringing, no problems. The most horrifying experience I've had is when I lost my sister in a car accident by a drunk driver. And that was when he was in his 20s. And so, you know, he's on the path of spirituality. He didn't go through anything in terms of as a child growing up. And for others, they went through a very challenging time growing up, and they entered to the path of spirituality. So what is this internal energy or call that says it's time to wake up, it's time to believe in what is your truth, to believe in how God designed you in the first place. And so to not hold on to the negative comments, the negative vision, the negative experience, but to use them as a tool to drive us towards the light and to drive us more towards who we are. This is the age that we're in, the age of the confluence, where the dark night of the soul has to give in and say, that's it. It's time for the light to shine. So I just want to thank all of you for joining the show for the past few months. It's been a wonderful experience, and I've been humbled and honored to be your host on the America Meditating Radio Show. And I'd like to play this meditation for you from the Off to Work CD called I Compliment You. And it's all about waking up in the morning and just having a right attitude, appreciating the people and the things in your life. So let's breathe and relax. Today I compliment others. Sometimes we forget to value those around us. But today I will say something kind to each person that I come into contact with. Today, I compliment you, compliment me, and compliment the world around. And when we can wake up and just believe in the goodness of another person and to offer our goodness to another person, it's called love. We are honored to have on our show a very special guest, Brad Yates. And Brad teaches everyone from elite athletes, CEOs, award-winning actors, people struggling with addiction, how to master their emotions. Brad uses emotional freedom techniques to help people overcome fear and stress and to improve their lives. He's the author of the best-selling children's book, The Wizard's Wish, the co-author of the bestseller Freedom at Your Fingertips, and a featured expert in the film The Tapping Solution, along with Jack Canfield, Bob Proctor, and Dr. Norman Shealy, and Dr. Bruce Lipton. Brad's eclectic background includes several years as an international performing actor, and he's a graduate of Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Clown Village. Isn't that beautiful? And so today on the show, we have this incredible personality who's going to share some wisdom with us. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Brad. Welcome to America Meditating.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a pleasure being here.
I'm glad that you could join us. I've tried that EFT, and I have to tell you, many years ago, I was in a car with some friends, and she met in an accident, and I got whiplashed. But I didn't think it was anything major. But about 3 years after the accident, I started to have this incredible pain right between my C2, the C5 vertebra of my brain, of my neck. And it got increasingly painful. And I went to the doctors, and they took an MRI, and they said, you have spondylosis arthritis. And they asked, were you in an accident? Did you endure whiplash? And I didn't even remember the accident. And then later on, I remembered, yeah, I was actually in an accident. And the pain got so bad, and they prescribed Vicodin, I don't know how many milligrams. And I took it, did not relieve the pain. And I remembered specifically a moment when I was in one of the sisters' room, and I said, I can't take this pain. It was like my head was busting. And one of the sisters just started EFT on me. And it just around that area, just started to do it. And it completely relieved the pain. So when me having you on the show right now talking about this is huge for me.
I love hearing stories like that. It's, you know, we can use this tapping process on a daily basis for so many things in subtle ways, but yeah, sometimes we hear those stories of just an amazing transformation, sometimes so quick and so unexpected. It's like, wow, it's amazing what this thing can do.
It sure is. It sure is. And I was in Egypt, and I met a young woman who was doing it, and I was laughing at her. Tap, tap. I go, what are you doing? That is so ridiculous. and of course, at that time, I wasn't suffering, so I had no idea what she was doing.
Right.
But when it got used on me at a time of need, now I understood what she was doing.
Yeah, I said, you know, I could go to a group of people and say, hey, I'd like to teach you a very simple technique that will be the quickest form of stress relief you'll ever find outside of, you know, being injected with a tranquilizer. It will help you with your relationships, your finances, your career. Would you be interested in something like that? And people would say, well, yeah, of course. And I'd say, okay, so take your fingers and tap on your face right here. Well, you know, actually, hey, I'm good, thanks. I don't need it. It's the idea of this tapping on the face. It looks a little strange, and I'll see the comments on YouTube videos where it's funny because you see a stream of people going, oh, thank you, wow, this has changed my life, this is so great, and then someone will say, that looks stupid. Right? And
it works.
I get it.
It works.
It works. It's outside the norm, and as human beings, we're very addicted to looking cool. So when someone comes along and does something that's outside of our norm of what looks cool, there's a tendency for us to react to that, and say, you know, especially if someone is saying, "Hey, you should do this; it would really help." It's like, I need to find a way to push away from that and deny that. That was one of the things of having done Clown College. When I was introduced to tapping, it was not the strangest thing I had done at that point. So I didn't have quite the same reaction others had.
I hear you. And talk about cool. You have quite a diverse background. I know the Clown College, which I want to hear about that, acting, and now you're a prominent EFT expert. What inspired you to study emotional freedom techniques? And please, educate folks, because it's so important.
Yeah. Well, I'd always been interested in the power of the mind. What I often say is what really started me on this journey was when I was 15, and I was interested in ESP and things like that, and my dad gave me the book Illusions by Richard Bach, which is all about manifestation and using the power of the mind and understanding how the world works and how to use it, and just a great story. But it wasn't until years later when I was an actor, and I was a struggling actor in Los Angeles, and I was married, and we had a child on the way, and I started to think, maybe now is a good time to have a backup career, just in case. I had my little gigs here and there. I'm not a doctor, but I did play one on TV, so had a few other things. But so I decided, well, let's look into this power of the mind thing, and I studied to be a hypnotherapist, and I started a small practice, and I'd been doing that for about 3 years when our second child was on the way, and at that point I decided, you know what, I'm really enjoying doing the hypnotherapy. It was really fulfilling, and more so than the acting career was, and I thought, I'm going to do this full time, and let's move out of Los Angeles. And when we did so, I, through some other hypnotherapists that I knew, they were talking about this tapping thing and this energy conference in Las Vegas. And I thought, well, I've got to go to this. And I took a one-day training from Gary Craig, who is the developer of this tapping process called EFT. And it blew me away. One of the exercises was on cravings, and he gave Hershey's Kisses to everybody and said, okay, you know, for all you chocoholics, how much on a scale of 0 to 10, how much do you want this chocolate right now? And at that point, I was at a good 8 or a 9 at least. Like, ooh, yeah, chocolate. And he had us tapping then for a moment on this chocolate craving. And after just a few moments, I had no more interest in the chocolate than I did in the foil wrapper. And
wow.
I'm thinking,
wow,
what is going on
wow.
here? And we learned a whole bunch of things that day, but it really was amazing to me how quickly we could do that. And so over the next couple of months, working in my hypnotherapy practice, I started introducing tapping at the end of the sessions. Little by little, I'd do more and more tapping until the point where I'm at now, where I do almost all tapping, and when I can, I still do a guided meditation at the end.
Nice, nice. You know, talking about choices, what is the relationship between our emotions and choices? Because you just gave a very nice example of when there's a craving and you did the tapping and it was gone. And many, many folks in America eat out of some emotional issue or emotional lack, and that's why there's a big case of obesity in our country.
Yeah.
Tell us more about the emotions and the choices that we make.
Yeah, and it's particularly obvious with our eating, but it's true constantly. 80 to 90% of our behavior, at least, is unconscious. And so we're making these choices at an emotional level. And we make hundreds, thousands of choices every day. And we're all doing it without, most of what's going on, without us even really thinking about it. So I like to say that emotional freedom is the freedom to make better choices. Because, as you say, with the eating, you know, we're looking for something that's going to comfort us, something that's going to make us feel better. If we logically ate, we said, okay, what does my body need right now at a real nutritional level? What would be good for it at this moment? There wouldn't be obesity. There would be very few, or at least a huge amount less, of the physical ailments that people suffer from, because we overeat and we eat the wrong foods. You know, now in the news, they're now going to ban trans fats. The government is saying, okay, enough is enough. People aren't eating well. We need to step in here. So it's that figuring out what is the emotion that drives that. You know, and we get these things from our childhood. We get them from the media. You know, if you look at, like, exercise, when we see images of exercise, we see people playing sports, and a lot of times they're grimacing and they're sweating. It's like, oh, so we have these images of exercise as painful. But then we watch commercials for the Olive Garden, and people eating pasta are really happy. So we get bombarded with messages like this. And so at an unconscious level, when part of us goes, I'm not feeling good, oh, hey, you know, if I eat pasta, then I'll be happy. Or, when I was a kid, going to birthday parties and having cake and ice cream, I was happy. Donuts was always a mood booster. So
anything with sugar, always works.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's two components. There's the physical component of the sugar and the sweetness and, you know, all the stuff that happens there, but the emotional thing of sugared things are always a treat. Candy at Halloween, cake on birthdays, ice cream for dessert. It's always there's even more so than the physical thing is the emotional thing of this is a treat. This is associated with happiness and good feelings. So when we're not feeling good, we're looking for those things that those things that'll calm us.
It's funny because in India, it's predominantly salty. Indians like salty food, and they're always attracted more to the salty than the sweet. Sweet is like on Diwali, which is a major Indian festival, but the salty is the main thing, and that's not something I've explored to quite understand as yet. But I have heard that if you induce a lot of salty things or things like lemon juice and these things, it cuts down certain activated hormones that tend to emerge in the body and do its own thing. And now, going back to this whole aspect of emotions, because it's a huge topic, don't you think?
Oh,
you know, when
yes.
I Yeah, when I go back to ancient studies and even in the path of Raja Yoga meditation, there's this focus on the soul, and that in the soul is this component or faculty called sanskaras. And so the sanskaras represent the sum total of the soul's life experiences, whether it's in one life, 10 lives, 84 lives. And now that all of those experiences are happening in the soul, there's a conjecture between the truth of the soul's worth and the illusion of the soul's past. And this creates emotions where it's all bumping up at the same time. Now, the opportunity is, what is it that the actor or the holder of these realities, what is it that we're supposed to do in those moments in which situations come to offer us the chance to choose emotion or well-being? Which one?
Yeah.
So why do you say that negative emotions are manifested in the body as well as the mind? How can we understand emotions a little more from you?
So we have, you know, we know that the mind and the body are not separate now. It's no longer the Cartesian split. The mind-body is a connected, it's a whole. And emotions manifest physically. You'll hear a doctor say that at least 95% of illness, of physical illness, is stress-related, is caused by emotion. Plenty of medical intuitives have talked about the relationship between emotions and physical ailments, and you know, they'll take pretty much anything you can talk about, different kinds of chronic pain, cancer, headaches, things, all these different things, and say, well, this is rooted in this kind of emotion that's rooted in this kind of traumatic event that may have happened in the past. So we hold all this energy, as you said. So with tapping, so this tapping process is based on acupuncture. So for thousands of years in Chinese medicine, they've said there's this flow of energy through the body along pathways called meridians. And when the energy is flowing naturally, we experience our natural state of health and well-being, both physically and emotionally. When this energy gets stuck or disturbed, then we don't feel so good. So in acupuncture, they would stick needles in these key points to stimulate the healthy flow of energy. We use this process of tapping with our fingers to get that energy moving again. So it clears out that that disruption that we experience as first, at some level, as an uncomfortable emotion, and then perhaps as a physical ailment. With we also have modern research now showing us that in the tapping process, we dramatically lower levels of cortisol, which is a stress hormone. So what happens is when we feel we're in a threatening situation, our amygdala in our midbrain responds and says, ooh, fight or flight, and starts pumping cortisol and adrenaline into the body, getting us ready to either rumble or run, and even though the threat may not be anything real. And so the tapping process clears that out. It allows our body to relax. So it gets us into that relaxation response. And as we clear that cortisol out, it clears out a lot of the physical manifestations that come with stress. So in the moment that we're feeling stressed, we can use the tapping to clear it out. Now, we can also use it to address past issues, these different events that you mentioned that are stored. And we can do it, as you said, on current life issues, on past life issues, things that are there that when we think about them, we start to feel that stress response. So as we go in and clear those things out and we allow ourselves to have a new understanding and we find a sense of peace around it, it didn't happen. We can look back and say, oh, okay, I had this past experience that was really upsetting. But as we clear the stress around that, we can look at it and say, yes, it happened, and I'm at peace with that now. So now that stressful element is no longer in there. So when we're going through our lives, that's no longer a controlling factor. And the more of those we release, the less we're responding at this emotional level and making these choices based on trying to comfort emotional discomfort.
Wow. This is such a huge topic, you know, Brad. And I think we need to do a part two to go more in depth with it, because I believe the more we can understand the root cause of some of these emotions and how to cure them, we'll have a lot less issues in the world.
Yeah.
As we approach the end of our show, please share with us what's one of your favorite life quotes that you live by, and thank you for your presence and your softness, and let our listeners know how we can find more information about you.
Thank you. There's so many great quotes, and so many of them, a lot of them come from Mahatma Gandhi. One of them is, some of them I have found out are possibly misquotes. The great line, you know, the problem with internet quotes is that they're so hard to verify, so said Abraham Lincoln. the one, be the change you wish to see in the world, mm-hmm. is really, really core for me. And so that's why I do the tapping on myself, and then I share it with others, and the more we can clear out, and since everything's energy and we're all connected, the more we clear out of ourselves, the more we see the shift outside of us, too.
Beautiful, beautiful. How can we find you out there?
You can find me at my website, bradyates.net, or taptofeelgood.com, because that's the four words that I want people to remember, because what we ultimately want is to feel good. And so if you remember to taptofeelgood.com, then you'll find, I have a lot of audios and hundreds of YouTube videos taking people through the process to clear this stuff out.
Beautiful. That was really lovely. Brad, thank you so much, and we'll get you on the show again soon.
Excellent. Thank you very much for having me.
So Brad is a very strong supporter of EFT, and so am I, and I think it's really important for us to move a lot of these emotional stuff that we've got going on, because they do cloud our decision-making factor. We'd like to get Sister Gita on, because she was missing in action on the early part of the show, and for all of you listeners that were on the air that maybe you wanted to kind of talk to Brad today, sorry we couldn't get you on, but we definitely will next time around. So let's get Sister Gita, who is going to be reading one of her special readings. Good morning, and it's great being here in the Catskill Mountains and taking this from Daddy Janki, dear friends, and it's a message for the call of our time. And listen, it says, this is a time to accumulate power. If there is any weaknesses and our emotional issues, you will not be able to do what you want, and you will become irritated and heavy. You will feel as though you're carrying a burden. So God tells us to remain light, and the soul will be able to draw might. Ask yourself, how can I remain light? How can I draw might? Keep these things in your mind, and all wasteful things will automatically leave you. When you are heavy, your face reflects tiredness and your words become heavy. Your actions become sluggish, you mistakes after mistakes, and the whole atmosphere around you becomes tense. When you remain light, however, the atmosphere will become one of zeal and enthusiasm. You will feel motivated and your actions will inspire. How would you feel if birds just sat in trees with sad faces and didn't fly around or sing? So think. Think about this. I should be like a bird, happy and flying and inspiring others to fly. So fly, robins, fly. Om Shanti. Thank you. That was very appropriate. And yes, folks, it's time to fly. We're coming to a close to another America Meditating show, and we'd like to thank you for joining us. Have a lovely day. And remember, no one can take away your hats unless you give them permission.